Greetings to each one. In the name of our Savior, Redeemer, friend and brother, Jesus. A wonderful Father. He was a wonderful Father to me, and I'm sure He's a wonderful Father to most of you. But you're keenly aware of His Father love when you're abandoned by your Father, your earthly Father. And so it's just wonderful for me this morning to testify how my Heavenly Father took care of me through the years of rejection, through the years of anger, bitterness, and trauma. My Heavenly Father was right there. And He was a friend to me, a counselor. And He was someone that I could lean everything on. And my understanding was very keen how my understanding was not that great. And so His understanding was wonderful in my life. What do you think of when you think of a new year in front of you? You know, I was just thinking so much of my weaknesses through the years, and so much of it's connected with my past. But praise God, He has been showing me, even yet in my old years, that my past does not have to be something that I live in. My past doesn't have to control how I respond in life. He brings freedom as we work through things. I can't help but think of a great man that influenced my life very much in the New Testament, another man beside Jesus, an earthly man, who had a violent past. He had a past of hatred. He had a past of murder. He had a past of persecuting and tormenting people. And he thought he was doing everything right. Until one day, the glorious light of Jesus Christ knocked him flat. And he was gloriously saved. And He's the one that wrote the words that you'll find in our text today. Philippians chapter 3. Where He says, forgetting the past and pushing ahead to what lies ahead. You know, it's interesting, as I was thinking about, and you by now probably know who he is, Paul. I was thinking about him of just before he wrote these words, he had gotten such courage and boldness, and we were talking about boldness this morning, the New Testament church, how God came down with His Spirit and anointed them and gave them so much power and freedom to speak. Because they weren't thinking about themselves, they were thinking about Jesus, the one who saved them. And here's Paul, all excited about his newfound faith, and he was going out in Damascus, just preaching with tremendous boldness, no fear. And people were saying, what is going on here? Here's a man who not long ago was chasing us, believers, who was hating us for anything that we did that held up the name of Christ. And here he is now speaking about him and how he's been saved. He's been saved from all of that. And Scripture goes on to say in Acts chapter 9 that Paul increased in strength and power, and he had tremendous boldness, so much that the governor of Damascus was very annoyed at him. And so him and a bunch of the leaders of the town of Damascus decided they were going to kill him, whatever it took, because he was causing a lot of unrest and stirring up the people. And so the governor placed two guards at the gate, one on each side, and they were just watching all the time. I think the guards were on a call 24/7. I'm sure they kept switching guards and watching very alertly, making sure that Paul would not pass through that town, and they were going to grab him and they were going to get rid of this man. Interesting. Paul heard about it, and he had befriended enough Jews that weren't scared of him, and they decided, converted Jews, those they had, it said, disciples, and he got together with them and said, how can I escape? And they said, why don't we let you outside of the wall through a window in a basket? And that's what they did at night. When the guards were right there intently watching the gates, never thinking about that he could escape some other way. And these guys grabbed a basket with some ropes, told Paul to climb in, and they walked over to the window and dropped him down. Instead of being intimidated and scared, Paul and his friends figured out a way to escape. But and then not long after that, he writes these words in Philippians. And so I was just thinking about, you know, here's a guy that faced so much persecution and pressure that he wrote such powerful words in Philippians chapter 3. And, you know, it shows that he was not shaken. His faith was not, he was not afraid. There wasn't fear there because he said, brethren, in verse 13, or go back to 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us with by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So there were many, I'm sure, that at one point were following Christ, and now, and maybe they were focusing on their past, and that drug them down. The enemy loves to use our past to distract us and to change our vision in the wrong direction. And then often, if we let that overwhelm us and overtake us, it takes us down a road of destruction. And Paul talks about a number of his followers who were distracted and pulled away. So many of them were focused on themselves. So many of them were thinking of people and the things that have happened to them, and they were influenced to go a wrong way. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And that's what the enemy loves to do. He loves to take us to the past. And that's why Paul, that's one of the first things he said. I have learned that I got to forget what's behind me and I got to move ahead. Yes, I'm going to take care of what's behind me. Repentance, whatever has to be done so that I can let go. So often we can't let go. And that's been my problem in my life. And I will just confess it. I found myself, as I was studying this, crying out to God, God, deliver me from all those thoughts that I think about myself and the past hurts and the past rejection and the trash talk that people have said about me. Help me, God, to not allow that to control my life. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto this glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So my message is simply this: letting go, forgetting what is behind you. Deal with it, however God leads you. And we'll get into some of that. But one of the hardest things in my life, for me to do, is just letting go of my past. And it's so interesting, when I start looking at myself, my focus is wrong, the enemy loves, I've opened the door. And the enemy loves to come and play with that. So I'm often very fearful of my past, that it may come back to haunt me. The hurts of the past bringing fresh pain and struggle, rejection, which often causes sadness and a feeling of worthlessness. You ever feel that way? I'm not worth much. That's wrong. That is a voice from the enemy. Well, Paul gives us direction about our past. He says, forget the things of the past and reach up and forward to what lies ahead. Stretch forward with every fiber in your soul and move past those things, and you can be empowered by experiencing God's healing and forgiveness, that you have the strength to walk past and start looking upward instead of inward. You know, so many people, and for many years, this is where I lived, so many people never get beyond the past. They live right there. Where are you living today? Are you living to what God is pulling you toward, to go forward and to reach and to stretch to the things ahead, to blessings, to joy, to abiding, and experiencing his presence to give fresh vision to your soul and your being? Rehashing, reviewing our hurts by comments of others, being rejected by others or even family, we must move past all of that. That's hard to do. That is so hard to do. I want to encourage all of us, and mainly myself, to move on in 2023, to not live in that little muddle. Whatever is holding you back, whatever is holding me back from God doing so much more through our lives, I'm praying that in 2023, that all of us together can move past. We can move forward. We can stretch toward Jesus. We can abide together. We can get to know him and the power of his resurrection, and we will not get to know him that way unless we can let go of our past and of ourselves. forgiving, and also repenting gives us so much power to let go and to move on. I tell you, I'm just thinking about Paul so much. If anybody had a reason to focus on himself and to struggle with his past, he did. Because not long after he has his conversion, and not long after he escaped in that basket, he went back to Jerusalem, and the disciples went, whoa. No, we can't trust him. Right there was rejection going on. And Paul had somebody beautiful come into his life, and I pray to God, we all can experience those kind of people in our lives. And we read about him today in our Sunday school lesson. It said he was a man of consolation. He was a man that was wealthy. He had lots of land and money, and he gave it all to the church. Anyone want to tell me who that guy was? Barnabas. Oh, I love when Barnabas has come to me and speak into my life. And here's Barnabas coming and taking Paul under his wing, says, come on, let's just go back, let's go to Jerusalem together. And he walked beside Paul, and then he became a very close missionary partner of Paul, and they did great things for the Lord. They accomplished much. Their vision was out and beyond, and they pressed way out. It's amazing the distance they traveled and the souls that they reached. What can God do through us if we can move past? I mean, I just pray that I can be a Barnabas to your life. If I see you huddled in a corner looking down, your hands hanging down, I want to be there. I want to wrap my arms around you and pray for you and lead you away from that captivity. And that's what Barnabas did. I mean, Paul, I don't think he was giving up or anything, but I think he began to wonder, wow, what am I going to do? These guys are all afraid of me. And then Barnabas reassured all those people that were rejecting, those Christians that were rejecting him. No, he's okay. He's one of us. Embrace him. Walk with him. When you're going through rejection and trash talk, which we all go through, and I went through so much of that, and I'm sure a lot of you have. I mean, I went through one church squabble and then hear another, and you know, you hear all this talk and you want to focus on that, and God says, no, forgive them and let them go. You look to me. I'm the one that has begun a great work in you, and I want to finish it. Don't be stopped and derailed and detoured with your past. And God has spoken that message so many times to me. I remember when everything came crashing, and I just went in my office and just was in a muddle. I didn't care. I came to the point where I just felt callous and numb and didn't care. And I had Barnabas that came and spoke into my life. It says, and they just said, come on, it's okay. Forgive and walk on. Well, if you think you're the only one that has experienced tremendous rejection, one of the very first things that Jesus experience when he began his ministry was rejection. In John chapter 1 verse 11 it says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Rejection. And some of those that didn't receive him were his very own family. And that's some of the hardest rejection to walk through. A vital and admittedly painful part of God's conforming process in our lives is our willingness to fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. And Paul talked about that. He talked about that in the preceding verse before we got to letting go. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. Are you willing to fellowship with Christ and his sufferings? Then you need to let go, and you need to let God give you that power to rise up and move on. Rejection in and of itself is not a stronghold, but it is our reaction to rejection that determines whether we become bound by it. Only God knows the tragic number of his own children who have allowed themselves to be imprisoned by the continuing feelings of rejection for the rest of their lives. And there's so many people that for the rest of their lives, they are bound by that. And that's tragic, because God has so much for his children who have allowed themselves to be redeemed and their hearts being free instead of imprisoned. I would never imply that getting over rejection is easy, but it is possible for every single person who puts his or her heart and mind to overcome. Overcoming rejection is God's unquestionable will for your life if you belong to him. How do you overcome rejection? By applying large, and I love this, this is not original with me, by applying large doses of God's love to your wounded heart daily, and by allowing him to renew your mind until the rejected thinks like the accepted. So are you thinking today like the accepted instead of the rejected? It's where God wants you to live. It's hard for him to use those who are just imprisoned by their past, rejection or whatever it is. Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. He will never cast you away. He is incapable of suddenly deciding he no longer wants you. If you have received God's Son as your Savior, nothing you can do will cause him to reject. Believe what God's Word tells you about him and about you. You are defined by the love and acceptance of the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. He happens to think you are worth loving and keeping, and your identity is not in you, but it's in him. I love what this one pastor said, and this has been a huge thing that I like to sometimes look at. God was pleased to make his own pleased. God was pleased to make his own pleased. He didn't just feel sorry for you. He wasn't obligated to you. He chose you because he delights in you. You were never meant to go through life by the skin of your teeth. You were meant to flourish in the love and acceptance of Almighty Jehovah. Thank you, Tim. I was just going to say I need something. My throat... wants to give out here. Doesn't that give you courage this morning? To think about God's thoughts of you. So my challenge today to all of you is 2023, let's forgive and let go of the hurts and disappointments of the past. Ephesians 4:32 says it so well, what God wants us to do. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, it's interesting. Peter asked the question to the Lord, how many times must I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus said, no. He said 77 times seven. And then he goes on to say in that answer to Peter, if I can find it here, it's found in Matthew. He goes on to say, and when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him, I'll just go ahead and read this, owed him 10,000 talents, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him all the debt. To forgive is to release from judgment and to give up the right to get even. That's true forgiveness. To release from judgment of judging that person and give up the right to get even. If we are not willing to forgive, we will not be able to let go and experience wholeness, and we will not experience inner healing. We will not be able to move ahead and press forward, as Paul is begging us to do in Philippians. Forgiveness has nothing to do with feelings. Did you know that? And I'm sure you do. It has nothing to do with feelings. It is entirely dependent upon our will. If we wait until we feel like forgiving, we will never forgive. The decision is made with our will, and we then submit our feelings to God, and He will change our feelings in due time. We need to short-circuit our emotions, our attitude. It should be, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving, but I submit my will to your word. I am willing to forgive. So a lot of people tell me, I can't forgive. Yes, it's hard to forgive when you think about that you're going by your feelings. But when you realize that it was God who commanded you to forgive and that you need to submit your feelings to Him, then you choose to forgive. And God will take, and God will work on your feelings, and you give your feelings to Him. Our responsibility is to submit our wills to the will of God. If we are not willing to forgive, we have not entered into repentance. Forgiveness is an act of repentance. We have been walking away from God, harboring bitterness, envy, and malice in our hearts. Repentance means to turn around, to turn away from our worldly ways, and to turn back to God. This is where we start. Repentance begins when we say, Lord, I'm willing to be obedient to what you tell me. I'm going to turn from my way and follow your way, We begin by agreeing with the Lord. We make a 180-degree turn away from darkness and toward light with a willingness to walk in His light. And 1 John talks about walking in His light and loving and forgiving our brother. The choice is still ours. We don't have to forgive anybody. God spoke to me very clearly about that. But God is not going to force us to forgive. Even though He has commanded us to forgive, forgiveness is still our free choice. He will never force you. But He will, when you submit your will to His, He will give you power to make a decision to say, I will, even though I don't feel like it. I will. Lord, take care of my feelings. It's amazing what happens. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are four powerful things that I've experienced through the years of struggling with my past, struggling with forgiving. You know, I was terrible. People would tell me that I have not forgiven my father, and I would say, yes, I have. That's not a big deal. You know how wrong that is? That's horrible. You're simply denying. You're living in denial. There are four basic steps of forgiving that I found to be very powerful in my life. And I'm still working on these because I'm still under construction. How about you? We do not forgive because we feel like it. We forgive as a pure act of our will in obedience to God's commandment. The second one is, when we forgive someone, we acknowledge that we no longer have any right to revenge that person. How often have you said, you know, I guess I'll forgive, but inside you secretly love the thought of revenge? That's not true forgiveness. Number three, when we forgive someone, we must do so following God's example. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a beautiful example. Once we have forgiven someone, we no longer have any right to allow the memories or thoughts of what they have done to hurt us. We don't allow that to stay in our minds. And you know, that has been just a powerful thought. We must discipline our minds and stop thinking about ourselves. We do that so much. We think about ourselves, and because of that, we still live in the past. Number four, once we have taken these steps in obedience to God, we can ask our Father to control and change our emotions in the situation. We as human beings can do very little to control or change our emotions. But the beautiful thing is, the Lord can and will as we obey Him and forgive those who hurt us. Too often when we're caught in the heat of the battle, too often when we're caught in the moment of accusations and everything else, and I've gone through this much, we think, we feel, and then we act. And God is calling us not to go by our feelings and act. No. We think, we feel, we act. And God wants us to act the way He would act, that we would follow His example and not our feelings. That's all I have. God's blessing to you. And I just pray together, 2023, we can move past ourselves and our past and allow God to do some powerful things. And I had to repent through this whole thing as I was studying. I said, Lord, I haven't been doing that lately. Forgive me. I want to forgive as you forgive. Forgive those who hurt you and despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Thank you.